AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Okay, second down and nine.
More hombre, a lot of men.
It takes up their time, man.
Maybe she had huge nipples.
No problem.
Not much.
On the line.
On the line. On the line.
I want you to repeat after me. Only teams win.
Aging is not lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength.
I don't know about the strength part.
Come on, Matt, buy it.
I'm old and I'm weak, and I was never strong to begin with.
Well, you've been eating all that gravy.
Petros, I love gravy. I Petros and Money, your gravy show of record.
No doubt about that.
On a Frogman Friday. We got a whole host of folks still to come. Lawrence Frank, president of basketball operations. The Clippers are back in action tonight. They will play the Oklahoma City Thunder after having the entire week off following their victory over the Lakers, essentially ending their season and eschewing in the era
you've been
of
eschewed.
LeBron limited minutes and rest on back-to-backs. But they will be back tonight. You'll hear Adam Osland just after 6:30 p.m. tip-off coming up at 7:30, but Lawrence Frank, president of basketball ops, will join us at the bottom of the hour.
And the BBQB right after that.
BBQB?
Yeah, David Sills, the baby QB from Delaware that signed with Steve Clarkson that Kiffin offered as a 12-year-old that ended up playing at West Virginia at wide receiver, left West Virginia to come to El Camino out here.
So
play a little quarterback.
Recruited to SC. Offer pulled.
No.
Verbaled. So
verbaled
SC.
SC would have had to honor it.
And he decides, or new coach.
Would have had to honor it, but why do you want to go play for a guy that you didn't?
So then West Virginia, not as a quarterback. Or
as
did he
a
go
quarterback.
As a quarterback.
Well, Dana but told him he could play quarterback.
Ain't going to happen, man.
And then he moved him a wide receiver.
And then he's like, well.
And then he said, I want it. After catching the game-winning touchdown in a bowl game, he went to El Camino Junior College right here in Torrance and got his dream of playing quarterback, did not go like he wanted. Back to West Virginia to play.
To be a wide receiver again.
Wide receiver. 18 touchdowns, I think. 17, almost 1,000 yards, back-to-back seasons. Really good player. He's going to join us. It'll be interesting to talk to him. His career has come full circle.
Where's Dana now?
Dana Holgorsen?
Yeah.
They paid him, remember? Fertitta paid him. Fertitta came out the pocket. Fertitta's mouth opened and big stacks of cash came out like
They've
a dispenser.
Fallen out.
At
Houston.
There you go,
yeah.
The Cougars.
Yeah, he's doing the Cougs.
Yeah, yeah. Dana's with the Cougs.
So who took over West Virginia?
The Troy State coach, Coach Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coach Brown
coach
from
Brown.
Troy. So who took over Troy?
I believe
I'll get
Hector.
Back to you on that.
Hector.
We'll get back to you on
Hector,
that one.
Achilles didn't kill him. He's got it. He's all over it in Troy, Alabama.
Go.
You might want to double check that Coach Brown, too. But I believe it's Coach Brown. All right, it is
Houston
time.
Houston Cougs.
It is time to tell you this. We have a great podcast that people should listen to.
It's a good podcast.
It's a great podcast.
We were told it was going to be a great podcast.
They're going to fix it.
It was going to be separated.
But
it
now
was
Alexa.
Parceled out. Now we have Alexa. Alexa has now mounted us, and you can mount her by just saying, Alexa, play Petros and Money, or actually play PMS on AM 570, and our show will come on.
Is she mounting us like we're kind of like the bottom? Like if you're watching a video, you're like, what, does this video make me a certain kind of way because I'm enjoying what Alexa's doing to PMS right
now?
I think
that's accurate. I think that's an accurate description. Hey, let the people find out. Just say, Alexa, play PMS on AM 570. Maybe you got that that Amazon View or whatever it's called, the one with the screen. It's not just the little bulb, or it's not the cylinder, but maybe you got the one with maybe pictures will come up of the Petros and Money Show of us from our original billboard back in the day wearing cowboy hats with our mouths wide open. Maybe that's the one, the image that'll come up.
It'll be cool.
On your Alexa, it'll be awesome.
Yeah. I was right. It's Neil Brown. Thank
Neil
you.
Brown.
Neil Brown is the new coach at West Virginia.
And Hector's at Troy State.
Hector killed by Achilles is not the coach at Troy State.
They wanted him, but Achilles killed him.
They called his agent. The agent was like, guys don't read a lot down there in Troy. Chip Lindsey. Yes, Chip Lindsey.
What the hell's that?
Chip Lindsey is your...
Sounds like a painter.
Chip, how do I know Chip Lindsey, 22nd football coach for Troy State Trojans in the Sun Belt?
Okay.
That's all the information you asked
me. Hey, let's go Sun Belt.
I'm glad we clarified that up.
Listen, well, Matt asked
me. There's people driving around town, Cates. So we don't want them Googling it themselves.
Exactly.
Nobody's
right.
Looking at the new head coach of West Virginia.
Why wouldn't they?
Alexa, tell me the head coach of West Virginia.
Tim.
Hey, that's Tim Cates, dude. That's the host of Bruin Talk. He's doing Duke, North Carolina tomorrow, all right?
He's produced a lot of shows. All CIF baseball in 96. Let's all celebrate. Everybody
was Tim Cates. All right, let's do the lessons learned. Let's do the lessons learned.
A Tim Cates Twitter meltdown return. A guest who delivered a really sick burn. Relive moments with no concern. It's the lessons learned.
All right, we have Italian Matt. We have Tim Cates. And let's do the lessons learned in Great Sports Talk. It was a fine week in Great Sports Talk. And we appreciate your listening. So here we go. Lesson. This is business.
As usual.
Here on PMS, we call this
business.
As
usual.
Lesson one.
Lección uno.
Lezione uno.
Stu Mundell joined the show after an unbelievable chase in the valley all around Galpin Ford, up and down Roscoe and Sepulveda, through North Hills, Van Nuys.
Van Nuys?
Northridge. Stu Mundell came, and he wanted to talk about the new graphic they have on KCAL and CBS that he finds a little bit distracting. I don't think Stu's into the technology, even though he's in a helicopter, which is pretty advanced technology.
But yeah, the speedometer, I got a lot of feedback. People already, writing and calling. And
I like the speedometer.
Because of social media, everybody's like, oh, hey, could you change the color? Could you make that green instead of red?
Let me get
the
on
font
that.
Bigger? And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
We're in a life or death situation in the skies above Los Angeles, avoiding the freaking NBC plane, all right? Give us a second. And NBC plane sucks, by the way. He's got no geekage.
Here's all I'll say. He may suck, but nobody's worse than the anchors.
Oh, the
anchors.
First
to weigh in. Yeah. No matter where you are, no matter what network you're on, the person who is in the plane / bird is infinitely better than having to listen to those stupid anchors.
Yeah. Is that Glendale? No, it's Glendora. Lesson two.
Lección dos.
Lezione due.
Now, this is
what was the name of the street that he was like, we're flying over and it says it's like Whipple. I'm like, there's no Whipple. They're still working out the kinks.
This is a big week for Matt Smith. He has his cereal stuff, which has been ruined by outrage.
By you?
No, I didn't do it, Matt.
You didn't have to share that information with the people listening. It was National Cereal Day. Okay.
Doesn't it? And Kellogg's birthday last week.
It's a bummer. It's sad. Of all the positions, I've managed to lay a claim.
I've staked
the radio broadcasting claim upon this one. It's gone horribly
wrong. You have your
wrong.
Cereal story.
The availability of information.
You can still talk about how Post stole Kellogg's thing.
Because he did.
But you can also talk about what kind of person Kellogg's really was.
A terrible human being, but Post shouldn't have stole the recipe and created Post Toasties. Those were toasted cornflakes by Kellogg's, damn it.
Much like we can never talk about R. Kelly without a heavy heart. It's just how it is.
Shut in my life! Robert.
But Matt, you can still do the Stossel story for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Right? And Matt went a little deeper with the Stossel story.
We've been doing it for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, but Matt went deeper. He found Stossel after he was slapped by Dr. D with Barbara Walters complaining about how he got slapped upside the head way back in the 80s. Here's John Stossel. Happy birthday, celebrating a birthday this week.
Oh, John, I'd heard that this happened to you, and not until I saw it did I realize the impact of this. I hope nobody thinks that this was part of your story. You really were beaten by this man.
Yes.
I know that it's been difficult for you emotionally just to watch it. How is it physically? What did he do after he
hit you? It just makes me mad. I mean, he hit me right on each ear. Doctor now says I have ear damage that's probably permanent. My ears hurt. When there are loud sounds, every time a bus goes by or people talk loudly, it hurts.
It hurts.
That's
a lot of noises.
Pretty funny.
Buses go by when a lot of people are talking. It hurts.
I've never liked you bullying Stossel around, but he deserves it after hearing that. Lesson three.
Lección tres.
Lección tres.
How about Bill Plaster? Bullying around poor LeBron. Can't even defend himself.
Won't leave him alone.
Wow.
Jeez.
You know, everything Kevin Durant said about him, and I was on this show talking about it, and I remember I ripped Durant up and down last October or November. He was right. Kevin Durant was right. It's the toxicity around LeBron is unbelievable. He eclipses everything. So can he attract a free agent? Can they get Anthony Davis? Can they get him help? Can he get invested again? If that happens, then yeah, it works out. If not, then yeah, they're worse off than they were before he came here. And here's somebody mentioned today. I was just talking to somebody about a half hour ago about this. At what point, if they don't sign anybody this summer, this is going to sound crazy, and I think y'all know where I'm going with this. At what point do you say maybe they got to trade LeBron James?
Ooh, at no point?
I mean, I know that was earlier in the week during prime time, drive time here in Los Angeles, but you can't be playing that on Friday, even if it's just a replay. I mean, we're going to the weekend, and you got to drop Bill Plaschke Friday afternoon, 5:15 p.m., saying maybe we got to trade LeBron, and then boom, we're off the air in an hour and 15 minutes. People are going to freak out.
Lakers added LeBron James, and they're not any better. And everybody hates LeBron each other James. Way more than they ever did. And they hated each other a lot before.
Oh, man, the Kuzer and Zoe, they're still gramming it up.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. You enjoy that.
Gramming it up.
Lesson four.
Lección cuatro.
Lección cuatro.
Colton, the bachelor, most athletic move in the history of reality TV, jumps a Portuguese fence. More on Portugal with the dead guy birthday of the day.
He just jumped the fence. Is there a button that opens the gate?
Colton!
Open the fence, guys. Open the fence.
Colton!
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 He's not a dog
or a child.
Dog barking down here.
Colton.
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 I have no idea where he went.
Colton.
That's pretty clear.
He hopped the fence and took off. I didn't see which way he went. Does anyone have any idea where he is?
Colton.
Holy bleep. Can you believe that?
How do you whistle for a grown man?
Like that.
Hey, Colton. Hey, Grimmer boy.
Colton.
Hey, I'd run away, too, if I thought I was going to lose my virginity and then I get dumped. And then it slowly comes to my understanding that this is all happening on global television.
I saw his tweet. It said, this is going to be unreal. Can't wait. And then the moment came and it was a wild letdown.
Wait till next week. Wait till they find him. And he's naked and afraid.
That'd be sweet.
Did you see the Tony Bruno tweet?
I didn't, man.
When I'm naked, I prefer not to be afraid. Lesson five.
Lección cuatro.
F you with the laugh. F you.
Lección cinque.
Yeah. F you and your A-holio. How about that there, Cates?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. He talked about the Laker rivalry. Don't do this.
It was a fun game. You know, you definitely felt kind of, you know, for me at least, definitely felt like the rivalry aspect to it. Like, there's definitely pride taken into it, knowing that, you know, you want to, you know, kind of be atop your city. And I know historically the Lakers are kind of the golden child of, you know, Los Angeles and stuff. So, I mean, it was another game. You don't want to put too much onto it. But, you know, it felt good to get that win. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Thank you, Landry Shamet. I mean, Shamet. Matt. Just one more time.
Sham wow.
Just one more time, Matt. Oh, John.
Oh, John. I'd heard that this happened to you, and not until I saw it did I realize the impact of this. I hope nobody thinks that this was part of your story. You really were beaten by this man.
Yes.
I know that it's been difficult for you emotionally just to watch it. How is it physically? What did he do after he hit you?
It just makes me mad. I mean, he hit me right on each ear. Doctor now says I have ear damage that's probably permanent. My ears hurt. When there are loud sounds. Every time a bus goes by or people talk loudly, it hurts.
Lawrence Frank will join us next, straight out of T-Neck. Hello, everybody. What's popping? And welcome back. The Petros and Money Show is on the air, taking it to the limit one more time.
I can't do it, Glenn.
You better do it, Randy. Joining us Joining us right now, because we have the Clipper game tonight versus Paul George, the Clippers take on the OKC Thunder. Pregame at 6:30, tip-off on AM 570 at 7:30. Matt, joining us right now, one of the architects, a man who knows what it's like to build an NBA team, to coach an NBA team, to scout, the president of basketball operations for the LA Clippers. It is Lawrence Frank on PMS on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's cracking, Lawrence? How are you?
Good. How you doing? What's going on?
We're fabulous.
We're doing great. We're excited to have Clippers basketball back tonight after a little bit of a layoff there. We'll start with an easy one. At least I think it's easy. How can you best describe this season's success, and did you suspect it? Because it seems like a lot of people are surprised.
I think it all starts with the types of guys we have. You know, it's always about your players first, and I think what we targeted were kind of tough, competitive, gritty, hard-playing guys, like no drama. We're all about ball. And I think our guys have done an unbelievable job. And then you pair that with Doc, who, you know, people forget. I mean, you know, a lot of people know Doc's success as a championship coach, but he's been doing this for 20 years. And his ability to coach so many different types of team within the season. I mean, last year, I think there was – and arguably so, just a big push that Doc probably should have been coach of the year. And I think this year he's done even a better job. And then you throw in a midseason trade where we trade our leading scorer and leading rebounder in Tobias, and then some other really, really good players. And the fact that, you know, Doc and the players just continue to keep moving in that direction to try to get the highest possible playoff seed is really a credit to the players and to the coaching staff.
I know I would assume every organization has the same goal at the start of the season, to win a championship, but you can kind of get a sense of what teams appear to be doing, growing young talent. Maybe, you know, they're in a reload or a rebuild, or they are pushing all their chips in. And you were part of one of those deals in sending Tobias Harris to Philadelphia. But you play in a lot of young players, and typically that doesn't breed success. It breeds, hey, we're getting them experience. So how would you say you've been balancing that, staying competitive while also getting a lot of first-year and young players, a lot of important and really critical playing time?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I mean, what we're really trying to do is really thread the needle, and I think everyone always uses a word that starts with R, right? It's rebuild. We always, from the beginning, said reshape, because our thing is we were never, ever, ever willing to be anything less than competitive. And you study how all the championship teams are built. And look, the reality is many of them hit rock bottom in order to build the opportunity to get back to the top. What we're trying to do is, you think about the run we've had since Doc's been here, where we were a legitimate contender. We were a top five, top six team. Then we went from contending to being competitive over these past 2 years. And then by trying to be as creative as we could be organizationally, it was being able to then create the flexibility, yet still having enough talent to be competitive, but create optionality where now we can build something that we feel can be a sustainable championship contender. So you're threading a needle there. And I think, like I said, it comes down to the quality of players you have. And we put a high value in character, just in terms of the DNA and the types of people we want in the locker room. But the point you made initially, you think about with Shea being 20, you know, Zubac and Landry, you know, 21 years old, and 3/5 of your starting lineup. It's pretty incredible what the group has done and what Doc has done. And I think it happens because the strength of our team is our depth. And when you bring Lou and Trez off the bench, I mean, Lou and Trez, in our mind, are the two best bench players in the league. You couple that with the, you know, like Gallinari's had a terrific year. Oftentimes it flies under the radar, but he's such a versatile offensive player. And then you can make a pretty good argument that the heartbeat of our team is Pat Beverly. And then to get the additions of Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple, who, again, kind of fit the Clipper DNA, the characteristics. So I think all that together, you're threading, like I said, a needle there, because we were never willing to go rock bottom. It's not Steve Ballmer's DNA. His thing is he would never do that to the fans. He feels very, very strong loyalty to the guys in the locker room and to our fan base, that we were always going to put together a competitive product. But if you go back to when we traded Blake, basically what we were saying is, hey, we thought we could be good to very good with Blake as the centerpiece, and then the same thing with Tobias. But we really didn't think and see a pathway to build a sustainable championship contender. And that is what Steve is totally committed to delivering to the city of Los Angeles, is a sustainable championship contender. And that's our job, to make sure we deliver on that promise.
Well, you know the NBA inside and out from all kinds of different angles. Lawrence Frank joining us on the Petros and Money Show right now, and part of the architect of this Clipper team, and they are doing quite well despite a lot of doubters out there. But threading the needle through everything, building a modern day NBA team. I mean, you want to build a team that has guys that like each other and relate to each other and get after it, but you also need some big name free agents, I guess. You know, that's a big part of it. What's the balance there in today's modern NBA? There's a few different ways to do it, I'd guess.
Yeah, and like I said, there are different ways to do it, and I think you have to do it true to who we are. And I think it always starts at the top with your owner. And if you look at Steve, Steve is about putting the work in. I mean, Steve is—he didn't grow up with the money that he's amassed. He's earned it, and I think that's what he wants in our players and our staff. It's tough, gritty, hard playing. We, you know, like blacktop type dudes. You're on the playground. We want ballers. That's kind of who we're attracted to, and I think vice versa. And our first priority is always to the guys wearing the Clipper uniform. And look, it's our job in the front office to plan, and you have all sorts of different contingency plans. But our number one loyalty is to our players first and foremost. And we have to remember, when we talk about free agents, we have a number of our own free agents. And those are also guys that we want to be able to retain. And so we're really, really proud of our group. And I think that's kind of going into the year. We wanted to make sure each and every night that we were competitive. And look, it's a very, very simple formula. If you want to be a hard-playing, competitive, tough, gritty team, go get some competitive, hard-playing, tough, gritty players.
I remember before the season, and I don't assume you had anything to do with it. It might have been the media, or I don't know if Doc or one of the players said it, but Clamp City was the term that we had heard. And it was kind of a defensive mindset. It speaks to what you described, a team with a lot of guys that are willing to grind and put in that extra effort. And we know that a lot of times that's what defense is, but it's really instead become a very balanced roster and a roster with a lot of shooting. And it seems like that is becoming more and more the formula to get wins in this league. You have got to be able to make shots. And I guess when we think back to the 7 seconds or less Suns, you would hear the analysts say, oh, you can't win like that because you lose your shot one night and then you're going to lose the game in the playoffs, and that's just not going to work. Is that what the league has become? Have you seen it morph into that, Lawrence, that you've got to have shooting to win championships?
You do need shooting to win championships, but I think ultimately what champions have proven is great talent. Is typically, with the exception of maybe one team over the last 15 years, the champion has been a top 10 offensive and top 10 defensive team. And so the best team in the league record-wise right now is the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the number one defensive team, and I think they're second or third offensively. And I think there's only three teams that are in the top 10 right now in both categories. And so I think you strive for great balance. It's hard to build a championship team that's so overweighted in one area and so deficient in another. And I think that's ultimately the goal of how you do it. And I think in order to do that, like you said, look, there is no substitute for shooting. Another new trend you have over the last 5 years is the more creators you can have on the floor, the better. And it's their ability to create for themselves, which then as a result will create for others. We have a great example if you look at Lou Williams. So Lou, his playmaking the last 2 years has gotten better and better. And the reason why is he's such a threat himself to score that it's going to force, especially like in pick and roll play, it's going to force the defender on the big to come up, which then allows Trez those openings. And this, that combination of Lou and Trez has been lethal for us. It's been so good. But it comes down to Lou's ability not just to shoot, but also to make some plays off the dribble as well. So I think that's kind of the goal. You're looking for that balance to build a sustainable contender. You're going to have to be really, really good in both areas.
How happy have you guys been with Ivica Zubac? It's kind of amazing the way you guys pulled that out.
I think, number one, we're just really happy we pronounced Ivica correctly. For me, it's always been a challenge, you know, coaching different, you know, like Ivica. I got that one down pretty good. So that's one. We are so happy that we have Ivica. To have a young, emerging center like that, where obviously he's got such a high ceiling. You look at, he's got terrific hands. He's got a good back-to-the-basket game. And the thing that you've seen, the last 10 games, we, in that short sample, we've been a top-five defensive team. And I think you have to give Ivica a lot of credit with his rim protection, because that was an area where we really, really were weak prior to the trade. So we're super, super excited to have Ivica with us.
In terms of doing the job, you've been a head coach. Now you're running a front office. It was something that Doc was kind of doing both for a while there, and it seems like, and Stan Van Gundy was doing it in Detroit, it seems when coaches are tasked with that, it's quite a challenge. How tough is that? How much work was that? Because, man, Doc is in the conversation as coach of the year these last couple seasons since you've taken on a lot more of those duties, and we're now reminded again that this is one of the best coaches in the league, and I wonder how much of that the prior years was a product of him just having so much on his plate.
Well, I think this. Look, Doc is still hugely involved in everything he's doing. I think all the coaches of influence, they have to be, because they have the best pulse of the locker room. But the NBA over the last decade has changed so much. Even I go back to when I was in New Jersey with Rod Thorne, where it really were mom and pop operations. And then over the last decade, things have exploded in terms of the size of front offices, also the different departments. I mean, performance and medical, player development, player services. There's so many different areas and so many different people. And I think the great thing having Steve as our owner is Doc and I were able to go to him and say, hey, look, if you want to build an organization that's going to be the ultimate destination for players, their families, and the staff, we have to be able to have the dedicated resources to have the infrastructure. Because we have a line that we use a lot. I am because we are. So it's really the strength of the team. So Steve being all in. So you think about, we have Jerry West as a consultant. We have Doc as a championship coach. And then our front office, Michael Winger, who we're able to get from Oklahoma City, is elite. Trent Redden from Cleveland is elite. Mark Hughes coming from the Knicks, elite. And then to be able to get a guy like Lee Jenkins. So, and then to build out the staff and the scouting infrastructure. These are all things that 5 years ago we didn't have. And part of it was obviously the transfer of ownership. And then part of it is just as you learn, you kind of audit and you have to be honest in terms of, okay, where are our gaps as an organization? And I think it's really a great team effort, and so it's happy because Doc, there's no one I'd rather work with than Doc. He's an unbelievable coach, but he's also just he's an unbelievable partner.
Last thing, Lawrence, I don't know if you were out at the Sloan or not, or if you saw the Adam Silver sit down with Bill Simmons, but something that came out of that was extremely interesting about kind of the mental health, and not, you know, in terms of like mental health issues overall in the league, but just kind of maybe the emotional well-being of players and how isolated he felt like they'd become and how, I guess, victimized by social media they'd become. Is that stuff that you guys addressed? Has that come up regularly? Because it sounded like it was something that he did some extensive research on with what he was speaking to.
Yeah, I think it's really, it's out there. It's something that over the last, you know, 3 years, we've spent a lot of time studying, investing in, because I think there is a great deal of loneliness. There is a great deal of anxiety. I think there's a lot of different issues. And I think, you know, my first mentor in basketball was Bob Knight. And he had a saying that said, the mental is the physical is as 4:1. That's the ratio. And that's really the untapped competitive advantage. And there's a responsibility that we feel as an organization, one, to be able to provide the proper services and support to not just our players, but to our staff. In terms of making sure to be able to address some of those mental and emotional issues. And I think it's critical. And I think it's, look, we all have different things we have to deal with. And as professional athletes, I mean, I can't imagine just the everyday grind of what it's like to get in at 3 a.m, not to be able to go to bed till 5 because you're so wired from the game, and then turn it back around, and then to have your performance, you know, evaluated by everyone. Look, that's what we all sign up for, but I think we'd be naive to think that as an organization and as a league that it's not our responsibility to make sure we're caretakers for our players and staff. So I think Adam brings up a very, very real point, and I think it's even, look, I have two teenagers. I know what they're going through is different than what I went through, and I think a lot of it is social media. Generation Z is different than the generation that I grew up in, and so I think there's a lot of learning involved. The great thing is, I know back when I was growing up, you know, we wouldn't have been so open in terms of acknowledging, like, I need help. And I think when you see guys like DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love kind of raise their hands and say these are very real issues, it's amazing the impact that's had on other professional athletes coming forward. In fact, you know, JJ just did a podcast with Chris Paul, and they spent probably 10 to 15 minutes talking about the issue that you just asked about. And so I think it's very real. It's something that we take very seriously, and we're constantly trying to study and see how we can help our players and staff.
You suffered alone in Teaneck, New Jersey. Nobody to help you out there.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
It was cut and run in Teaneck back in the day, Coach. We love you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Not much better in Bloomington,
no,
by the way.
No, you in Teaneck. They're not taking any of that. Nobody's talking about their emotions. God bless you, Coach, and have a wonderful day. And thank you for joining us. The great Lawrence Frank from the Clippers front office, the presidente of basketball operations. Thank you, Lawrence.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
We appreciate you. Teaneck forever. We'll be right back with more PMS. Coming up next, you guessed it, David Sills, the baby quarterback, moves on the line of scrimmage like a freak.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Remember, we are off for Clippers basketball tonight, 6:30 p.m. Thunder, after an overtime victory in Portland, make their way down to Los Angeles. Clippers currently sit in the 8th spot, but can climb all the way up to that 5 hole if they keep playing the same kind of basketball they've been playing for the last couple weeks. And you'll get that Adam Oslin pregame. He's awfully excited to be back on the air starting at 6:30 p.m.
But Matt, joining us right now, a guy that's been talked about ever since he was in middle school. As a football prospect, but it became wide receiver that was his specialty, and why not? He's got line of scrimmage, press moves, the Jerry Rice
football
would drop his jaw at in the modern day. David Sills from West Virginia, really getting the people at Milan Push Car going. Caught a lot of balls for a lot of different dudes, but really had a great rapport with Will Greer. Matt, he had 15 touchdowns last year.
15 touchdowns?
And 18 in 2017.
18!
I know you know those stats.
Football.
I do.
Getting ready for his pro day now. Had a great combine last week. David Sills, former El Camino Junior College quarterback. Let's go, Warriors.
We love JUCO quarterbacks
in
Southern California.
Just like
parts.
Steve Sarkisian. El Camino, baby. David Sills joins us on PMS on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's cracking, David? How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. It's been a wild ride for you because, I mean, you were talked about on national news when you were a young, really young man, but you settled into this position and played it really brilliantly throughout your college career, even though you stopped right in the middle to play quarterback. Talk about just coming full circle all the way and getting ready to join the NFL as a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, it was a really wild ride. Definitely wasn't a straight road at all to get to where I am now. But, yeah, I mean, just had to go through some things. You know, when I got switched to receiver at West Virginia, you know, after I played my freshman year at receiver, I wasn't ready to fully commit to it, and I wasn't done with playing quarterback. So, you know, that's why I went out to El Camino and played there as a quarterback. And then, you know, I didn't really get any offers or any looks out of El Camino. And, you know, West Virginia ended up calling me back. Coach Holgerson called me and said, come back and play receiver. You know, and at that point, it was kind of like, okay, you want to play on Sundays. And, you know, this is your chance. So I hopped all over the opportunity.
How was Torrance?
It was good. I mean, I loved playing for El Camino. I mean, obviously a lot different than West Virginia and playing in front of 60,000 people, but
hey, right on the show there.
Yeah, I mean it was a very good experience and played with some good dudes.
How was the combine? It's always interesting to get out there with a group, and receivers come in so many different shapes, speeds, sizes, especially this year. That seems to be the case. Kind of what was your takeaway when you left Indianapolis?
Hey, it was a long week, you know, but it was good. Like, you know, you're talking to all these different coaches, and they're really getting a feel for who you are and what kind of person you are, you know, really outside of football, you know, because they all know pretty much who you are as a football player because they've got all the tape and did all their research and everything. So they're trying to get to know you on a personal level. But, you know, being around the all the guys and all the, you know, top players at your position is just, you know, it's really something that I look forward to. I like being around those kind of guys because, you know, as the combine's kind of all individual stuff, but it's still a competition in some sense.
Are you hanging out mostly with your position group or because you had Will Greer there who was working out with all the quarterbacks and obviously you guys are on the field together? Like what is it in terms of bonding and groups and support while you're there going through that? Because you hear people say it is kind of a tough run for how late they keep you up, how early they wake you up, and just the nonstop grind all day long.
Yeah, well, really, you're kind of, you know, you're with your guys that you played with, but everybody, you know, all the guys, we had six guys from West Virginia, so, you know, I was with them and everything, but, you know, you meet people in training, and you meet people, like, I went down to the Senior Bowl, you know, so there was people that I knew there, you know, from other stuff that we were doing, so... You honestly meet a lot of people down there, but you know you're bonding with the guys you played with at West Virginia, and you're bonding with the guys you met at the Senior Bowl that you spent a week with, and you're bonding with the guys you're training with because everybody has different schedules, so you try to just meet as many people as you can and bond with who's ever around. Honestly,
once a USC commit to Lane Kiffin straight out of Delaware, David Sills joins us on the Petras and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports. The one thing that really impresses a lot of people about your football skills is what you can do at the line of scrimmage against a corner, any corner. And it's a really interesting way you go about it because it seems like you have natural ability, but it also seems like something you've really worked on at the same time. What do you attribute that skill to?
I mean, absolutely. I think it's something of being a receiver that you need to be able to get off of press coverage. And, you know, we saw a lot of it down on the goal line, which is where I had a lot of my success in college. But, you know, it's a combination of things. I think my receiver coach did a great job in college of really teaching me, you know, the trade of being a receiver because I really had no idea how to play it. So I was just trying to really soak up all the information, you know, that he had for me. And just, you know, being persistent and determined to really learn the position, I think, you know, that's what ultimately gave me some success.
We heard some stuff coming out of the combine about certain people's performance in interviews and on the board, and they suggested that maybe individuals could have been coached up a little bit better. Did you kind of go through, you mentioned you had some training, was it all just kind of athletic and performance training, or did you go through some of those interview trainings, questions to expect, answers that you should be giving, and did you feel like that helped, and how were those interviews?
Yeah, we did. You know, we went through stuff like that, interview process and everything, Wunderlich testing things, you know, but that was something that kind of came a little bit natural to me. I've been doing interviews since I've been like 13 now, so it's something that I pretty much felt comfortable with. And, you know, being a former quarterback, you know, all the questions that they're asking me at receiver kind of came, you know, as second nature to me. So. You know, I felt fully prepared for all those interviews, whether it was media or with, you know, coaches or you know, GMs of teams or whatever. So, you know, I felt like I was fully prepared. But we did do some, you know, interview process stuff when we were training, and I think it was helpful for a lot of the guys that I was training with.
Well, everybody knows that Sills is a star on the board. It's David Sills. You ever still talk to Lane Kiffin, David? Does he text you or tweet you?
Not really. I mean, he's tweeted me a couple times indirectly and said, you know, he'll like quote a story, you know, just saying this is the 13-year-old kid that was offered to USC. And he'll kind of say like, good luck, David, with everything. Like just like kind of a, you know, an indirect quote to me. But, you know, he recruited me a little bit when he was at Alabama. So had some communication with him when he was there, but really haven't talked to him much since then.
Hey, you ever ride that people mover thing in Morgantown?
The PRT?
Yeah, you know, that thing that
the
goes on the track.
Public rail transportation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot or just
yeah,
once?
Not too many times. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not very certain that you're going to end up to where you need to go because it breaks down a lot.
Oh.
But
that's unfortunate.
You know, that's what everyone in Morgantown says, that, you know, it's the best way for transportation, but it does break down a lot, and you can easily miss a class.
Don't want that.
Hell no.
I don't want to miss that Morgantown.
Keep them grades up.
That good Morgantown class, that knowledge. The great David Sills, ladies and gentlemen, bringing that knowledge to the NFL. A lot of knowledge. God bless you, and good luck to you, David. It was fun watching you play at West Virginia, no doubt about that.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. Anytime.
There he is, David Sills.
Hey, see him in a prime time there.
The BBQB will do you past the hash on the edge.
The BBQB, baby QB, do you dirty.
B-E-B-E.
The baby.
We'll be right back with your quick hits, your final hour fun fact.
PRT, kids. You're going to miss your class.
Your dead and alive guy birthday of the day. I'll never learn how to milk a goat. We'll be right back with more.